FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's March 8th, 2018. Well, March always comes in like a lion. It often goes out like a lion as well. For stocks, you never know what's going to happen, but it is, according to Nick Santiago, a major pivotal month, a major volatile month, and the vernal equinox thrown in there. Hey, don't forget, you're going to be springing ahead very shortly. Well, as always, just write us, be part of the show, kl@kerrylutz.com. So is this March going to be different than all the others or follow the pattern? Nick Santiago, InTheMoneyStocks.com, is with us now. Nick, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Kerry. Thank you for having me.
So historically, March, like I guess September, October, a pivotal month?
Yes. Even if you look back in history, you'll always see that the month of March has been very, very pivotal. Just go back 9 years ago, we had the anniversary low in 2009 in the month of March. And you'll see throughout history, March has been one of the most pivotal months. And a lot of that has to do with the vernal equinox, which takes place, and that's the start of spring. Anytime you get a seasonal change, very, very often you'll get a change in market sentiment as well. And very, very often we'll see a trend change in the market. So March, in my opinion, probably one of the most important months this year. And again, we're going to see right around the 20th and 21st, the Federal Reserve will start their two-day meeting. And that is where they are expected to raise the Fed funds rate, which is the overnight bank lending rate to the large, large banks. So again, they are expected to raise a quarter point then. It's kind of factored in there. But again, when more liquidity gets pulled out of the system, and that's what happens when they raise interest rates, you know, the market does come under pressure. You have less capital inflow into equity. So I think it's a very, very pivotal time going forward.
Hey, not to mention that when rates go up, margin rates go up with them. Margin debt, big factor in this market's move.
Very true. Very true. Couldn't say it better myself. And, you know, again, we're going to probably, you know, I think definitely the Fed will raise rates going forward, as we have the 10-year U.S. Treasury note yield now, you know, just below the 3.0% level. So, again, this is a very, very pivotal month. And I think traders really need to be on their toes during the month of March. This is not a The buy and hold days of last year are now completely over, and we'll get, you know, extreme volatility, extreme choppiness in the market throughout the entire 2018 trading year.
Yeah. So you think it'll finish higher or lower from where it started?
I think the markets basically can carve out a positive gain this year, but it'll be low single digits, if you ask me, just simply for the fact that things won't really be a little bit clearer until we get towards the October, November timeframes. And that's historically a point in time where the markets will trade higher as we go into the holiday season. And, you know, just another point to bring up is that anytime you go into a president's first term and his second year of his term, it's always, always historically been a very volatile year. And there's always a chance the markets could finish negative. But if they do, it would only be down, you know, 1 or 2%, in my opinion. But we are looking at extreme volatility the second year of a president's first term.
Right. So that's also a key factor, a cycle that's coming into play as well. And hey, the tax reform starting to take hold, and all of a sudden many of you out there are finding out, hey, this thing isn't so bad. It actually is a good thing, and we're going to profit by it accordingly.
Oh, absolutely. You'll see. I mean, just we've already had such a big move in the stock market ahead of the tax cut. So the reality of it is a lot of that is factored in. Now the market goes through what we call a digestion period, and it just goes in basically a trading range for a considerable amount of time, and it just digests all of those gains. And then you'll see as we go into 2019, I expect a big rally in 2019. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, just simply because, you know, we're only in March of 2018. But, you know, once this all gets digested, you'll see another big advance in equities going forward from 2019 all the way to 2020.
Right. Interesting. So we got a lot of fun ahead of us here. And what other trends do you see coming up here, major trends that you need to be aware of?
Well, I think everybody needs to be aware that the U.S. dollar is in a bottoming process. And I know I listen to talking heads on television, and I read some of these talking heads in the media, and they're telling people, you know, the dollar is going to collapse and the dollar is going to fall. And, you know, Kerry, I told you, you know, back in January, late January, I said, I'm looking for the dollar to bottom now. And the dollar has come off the lows. It's already done what we call a double bottom retest, and now in the pattern of forming a W-shaped formation, and that's a bullish pattern going forward. So I don't think the dollar is going to scream higher at the moment, but I do think it is in what we call a bottoming process, and the dollar ultimately will be stronger throughout 2018, in my opinion, and it will be a lot stronger in 2019 as well.
Interesting. So that has all sorts of ramifications for markets, both here and abroad, also for precious metals as well,
and other commodities as well, mm-hmm. You know, including oil.
Yeah, so oil, think, is going to head lower.
Well, I think oil right now is still okay because the dollar is just chirping around at these lows. It hasn't made a significant move to the upside, but it has come off the lows. So that doesn't really affect gold and oil so much at the moment. But I think oil next year, we will start to see really come back down. In fact, I've given my members a target on oil. I said, if oil gets to $74, we short it with every penny we have. You know, I'm just speaking a little bit out of tune there, but I really think that it's going to call for an excellent shorting opportunity in crude oil.
Wow. Interesting. So, and right now, crude's kind of been bouncing around the 60 plus range, 60 to 65.
Yes.
It's kind of stuck in a trading channel, huh?
Yes, it's been just chopping around. And again, crude oil, if it takes out the recent lows, which were around $58, and it does that on a weekly basis, you'll see crude really, you know, really fall sharply lower. And that is something I think traders should watch for, although I don't, you know, see the sky falling on crude at the moment. But it's something that could occur. And then, you know, you'll see crude go right back down to the $40 level very, very fast. Right now, it's still okay. It's still above that $58 level. But if that does happen, that will tell us that the dollar is starting to advance quicker. And if that dollar starts to advance quicker, crude will fall lower. And, you know, you'll test 50 and then ultimately back down to 40 bucks a barrel. We're flooded in oil. We're flooded in energy. You have a world where it's starting to change, and we're seeing more electric cars. I mean, there's going to be hydrogen cars out before you know it. I mean, we're just changing. We're just not going to use oil as much as we still are going to use it. It's not like it's going away, but we're just not going to use it the way we did. And the United States, with the shale boom that's gone on, and the amount of production we have here, and also to our neighbors to the north in Canada, I mean, the U.S. is basically energy independent at this stage of the game.
Yeah, that is pretty remarkable, because all the naysayers said it would never happen again. And I read an article just the other day that we ain't seen nothing yet, pretty much.
Well, you know, it's interesting, but throughout history, we see these different cycles. And, you know, if you remember back in the early mid 90s, you know, crude oil was, you know, $20 a barrel. So, and that was kind of where it was for a long time. And then, you know, everybody was panicking as we got into the, you know, 2000 and Bush era. And you could see that, you know, oil went up and prices went up, you know, really, we started to skyrocket. And then in 2008, I mean, we went to $147.50 a barrel. So, you know, it's pretty incredible that you get these kind of moves. But if you're a trader and you can read these trends, I mean, there's really small fortunes to be made here.
Hey, small and perhaps for some large fortunes.
That's right.
it's all about these cycles. And so the dollar is going to start its ascent because it's been down. A lot of people were calling for it to go up. And now, you know, now you're saying that it's going to go into an upward trend. So yep. metals seen their high for the year or what?
I think they have. I think, you know, if and then I'm going to speak about gold because that's the one precious metal that we all follow very closely. But when I look at gold, I don't think there's a whole lot of upside in 2018. Just say we did the dollar did fall and gold really started to move. You know, I think we probably could test, you know, 1375, 1380. But that's really all that I have factored in. Now, going forward, I love precious metals because I do think when, you know, you get to 2021, 2022, you know, I think that's where gold really breaks out of a long-term base. A lot of people don't realize it right now, but gold has been basing now since 2013. So that's 5 years of sideways movement, and it's basically been in a range from, you know, 1,400 down to around the 1050, 1060, 1075 level. And that's what we call, you know, really just sideways consolidation. So again, you know, gold will have its day in the sun. It will shine once more. But, you know, this year, I don't really see it going all too much higher from here.
Yeah, it just never wanted to get above that 1365 resistance.
Yeah, that's a real big, tough level. And again, there's so many intertwining factors globally that affect that. But that's why I use charts. Sometimes I'm not so smart to figure out the whole story, the whole soap opera behind every move. But the charts tell me pretty much everything I need to know.
Yeah, it's all in the charts, eh?
It really is. It really is. And if I'm wrong, it's because I made an error somewhere on interpreting it. But it is really all on the charts.
Yeah. Any other markets that we're going to see some wild moves on, you think?
I think every market, to be honest. In 2018, if you just look at what we've seen so far since late January, I mean, we've had the first or the quickest 10% correction I can remember. Basically took 2 weeks. The market peaked out on January 26th. And, you know, we put a bottom in on February 9th. So, these moves are going to be fast and they're going to be dramatic. And we're going to get a lot more, I would expect, at least geopolitical events. You know, you still have this Trump situation with this investigation into the Russians, which I think is all nonsense. But I mean, these guys are continually digging. This Mueller is continually digging for more and more. So, you know, there's still a lot to the story. A lot of soap opera stuff still to go on in 2018. So every market is intertwined right now. You have to watch the retailers. I mean, that's a very important sector going forward. And, you know, the brick and mortar stores, they really got pounded in 2017. And finally, they put in some kind of a bottom. Then you have technology, which is still, in my opinion, the strong horse. And the Russell 2000 now is starting to gain a lot of strength, starting to show a little bit of leadership. You know, can that hold up? If that doesn't hold up, things really come unglued. So there's so many different interesting sectors and industry groups that will be in play this year. It's just going to be a trader's market where you got to go in there, you got to find the opportunity, and you have to really, really be patient and almost trade the market surgically. I don't think traders can just go in there like they did in 2017 and just, you know, pretty much buy any large cap name and the stock will go up. Those days are long gone.
Yeah, I am tending to agree. It's not just a buy and hold scenario. You've really got to think this thing through and not go with the crowd, because the crowd potentially could get slaughtered, the herd.
Yeah, the crowd is always going to be wrong. Sometimes, you know, they get a bone when there's a big, long trend in place. And, you know, really, the truth of the matter is we have not had any kind of a 10% correction since January, February of 2016. So, you know, that lures people in. And then you had the Bitcoin craze. That also lured a lot of people in. And, you know, everybody just thought things go straight up. It kind of reminded me of a mini housing boom like we had back in the mid 2000s, where everybody just, you know, was thinking the real estate market was just going to go up in a straight line and never come back down again.
Right.
And the reality of it is, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And you could see how, what happened there. So, again, it, you know, you got to know sentiment in this market. You got to understand the charts, most importantly. And, you know, you have to really be patient as well. And if you can put that all together, there's good, good profits to be made this year.
Yeah, so make it on the upside, make it on the downside, doesn't matter. Just make it and be a savvy investor here. Don't just go with the crowd.
That's 100% correct. And there's going to be opportunity on the longs and on the shorts. So like you just said, up and down. And if you can, you know, really look at these charts, and that's all I do. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, 500 to 1,000 stocks a day, you know, 10 hours a day. And, you know, you just watch for those, you know, few opportunities that arise. And, you know, there are, you know, going to be more and more throughout the year.
Yeah. Well, hey, so what market you think is the most vulnerable for a downturn?
Well, there are several that are vulnerable to a downturn. One is the energy market. And I just say that because ExxonMobil just looks terrible. And that's the world's largest energy stock. So I think, you know, that right now has not been a strong equity. And the reality of it is this thing peaked out, you know, basically in December at, you know, $90 a share, close to $90 a share. Now it's trading at $74 a share. So energy stocks have definitely have caught my eye right now. I think they're definitely vulnerable right at the moment, especially, you know, select names, ExxonMobil being one of them. And that is the largest integrated energy stock in the world. Used to be the largest stock by market cap until Apple overtook them. And then I think there's select retail names that could be very vulnerable also. But retail is such a large, vast group. You really have to be selective in there. There's some biotech names that could be vulnerable. There's just a lot of sectors and industry groups that are really in play. But like I said, you got to sift through it and you got to look at it. Chinese ADRs are another industry group where I'm starting to see some real good churn, and they could be vulnerable. They're big winners in 2017. Now, I always watch stocks like Alibaba, which is, you know, the Amazon of China. And, you know, I'm watching this weekly chart pattern, and I'm saying, ooh, this thing is getting to a point where, you know, this could be vulnerable. And you'll see a stock like this go from, you know, 188 where it's trading today, you know, down sub 150. So there are definitely industry groups out here and different areas that are going to be affected in 2018 without question.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be an exciting year. And you need to be ready for it. Conventional wisdom is going to fail you as usual. So you better be looking at the unconventional sources, such as InTheMoneyStocks.com. I mean, you had a fabulous year last year, Nick, right?
We had a fantastic year, and we're off to probably one of the best starts we've had since 2007, 2008. So this year has been, you know, incredible since the start of the year. And again, I'm hoping and I'm wishful that we're going to continue this, and I believe we will. So, you know, put a lot of content out on our website. We put a lot of information that traders can just come over and browse for free. There's no charge to do that. We call it the Rant and Rave blog. Tons of information out there. But this is what this year is all about. out. And even before the year even ends, I put out a forecast every year. And this past December, I put out the 2018 forecast, and everything is pretty much playing out as outlined in that forecast. So again, you know, it's not something that you can just make up. It's something that, you know, I really just look at all past history of charts, and I have thousands and thousands of charts, both electronically and, you know, handwritten charts I even have going back to the 1700s, 1800s, that I've been able to accumulate over the years for traders. So, you know, I look at all that past history, I look at all those cycles, and I try to put it together the best I can. And, you know, with the good fortune, I've learned and become one of the better students of W.D. Gann's work, who, you know, probably I consider him to be a mentor, although he was dead long before I knew about his work. But I've been studying his work, and have many, many of his charts, that original charts that he's created. And I continue to baffle, spin my mind sometimes how, you know, precise some of this stuff can be. And like I said, if I make an error, it's usually my fault. So again, I'm always a student of the market, but there's always so much to learn. But the opportunities here, especially this year, are really endless in 2018.
Yeah. Hey, as long as you're a student, you're always going to be making mistakes, and you're always going to be paying through the nose for them, aren't you?
Well, you are. And, you know, the key is to just find your mistake and not repeat it. And if you could do that, success is certain. So I think that's the key for every novice trader out there. I've been in this business over 25 years now. It's been a long time, long journey. But, you know, I'm still learning things every day, and I'm just grateful for that. And I guess that's what keeps me so interested in what I do.
And that's what keeps you swinging for the fences. Hey, just as a curiosity, what has been your best hit of all time, and what's been your worst?
All right. So my best hit of all time was shorting oil back in 2008. Goldman Sachs upgraded it, and it was at around $148 a barrel. I went short around $146, and I covered that trade at $60. That's my best of all time. And then my worst was a day trade. I'll never forget the stock. It was CUTR, Cutera, and it's a laser maker. And I was in the money on a day trade up about $1.50, I'd say, $2. And I just went and I said, oh, this thing's going to ride up a little bit more. And I walked away and I came back and I saw the stock down about $12, and I lost about $30,000 in about 2 minutes. So that might have been my all time worst. But, you know, that was probably 2004, 2005. So I haven't had anything like that happen since. But, you know, I learned a valuable lesson. I cannot leave the screen anymore while I'm in a day trade.
Yeah. So, yeah, stay by your screen and don't let day trades turn into longer than 24 hours, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, a day trade now is usually within a few minutes to a couple of hours. But, you know, when I'm in a day trade these days, and I am an avid day trader, I don't leave the screen. You know, it's just, I'm prepared and I'm ready to sit in front of that screen all day. Swing trades, which we're looking for, you know, multiple trades going for a few days to possibly a few weeks, you know, then I give it some wiggle room. I can walk away and, you know, I don't need to be in front of the screen the whole time. But it was a valuable lesson, and one I will not make again.
Hey, what do you think your biggest missed opportunity was?
The biggest missed opportunities, I'm not 100% sure, but I miss opportunities all the time. Sometimes I'll miss day trades, I'll miss some swing trades, but for the most part, I usually hit most of my opportunities, and that's been very, very good for us. And again, you know, that's all I strive to do. I haven't missed many big ones, but I've usually caught the big ones.
Hey, well, that's a good thing. Well, anyways, so it's inthemoneystocks.com. Question for Nick: you want to be part of the show, just email us. The email address is kl@carrylutz.com. The Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Nick, we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks and see how this is all going.
Sounds great, Kerry. Thanks again, and we're looking forward to speaking to you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.